Hello there, St. Andrew's family. Back with How the Sausage is Made, some sermon prep. So I'm Pastor Matt and
Pastor Ethan.
And we are joining together. What are we, the Wonder Twins, the Dynamic Duo? I don't know what
I
we
like
call
Dynamic
ourselves.
Duo.
Dynamic Duo.
I like
okay.
that.
Okay,
yeah.
That'll work. Okay.
So, I don't know if we're close enough in age to be the Wonder Twins, man. I'm sorry to break
true.
That to
like,
you.
That's true. I'm almost twice your age. Like, I'm really close to being twice your age. This is
sorry
true.
To remind you of that, Pastor Matt.
It's okay. I couldn't hear it anyways. I couldn't hear it over my creaking hip.
There we
so,
go.
So, yeah, okay. Anyways, I'll put my dentures in. We'll get this party started.
Let's
here.
Do it.
Man, once again, great sermon. Talking about the Sermon on the Mount,
mm-hmm.
and it was kind of cool because 2 weeks ago you had the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, but like as you said, you kind of pushed into the whole Sermon on the Mount, and so it's almost like this week was almost kind of like going backwards a little bit as
yeah.
far as like, hey, we talked about the whole thing, now let's take a look at one little section.
Right.
And it was a short gospel reading.
Mm-hmm.
It was just mm-hmm. Talking about being salt, and if salt loses its saltiness, it's not really worth anything, and then being light. And I appreciate what you said at the beginning, because I've never heard it phrased that way, but Jesus lays out two impossibilities.
Right.
And that was a great way to phrase that. I'd never thought about it in those terms, but you really got the wheels turning in my head right off the bat. So tell us about the two impossibilities. How did you come up with that?
And like not to take any credit, because that's something that I stumbled into reading through Jeff Gibbs' commentary, one of the Concordia commentaries, and he had a really just cool way of describing, laying out like kind of exactly what we meditated on, the fact that whenever Jesus says a city on a hill can't be hidden,
mm-hmm.
our reaction should be like, oh yeah, duh.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And how that works, it works in tandem with his analogy of salt.
Yeah.
And they're both kind of working together to describe the same thing. That, and one of the things that really struck me during my study time, because I don't know if you guys remember last week us recording, I had a lot of different ideas just kind of circulating around my mind, and it was really
a little over the
right.
Place.
Was
yeah.
really trying to focus in on something, and just the very first three words, "You are salt." Like that's how Jesus starts
mm-hmm.
those verses, and he just kind of he doesn't say like you're going to be like this way. He's not going to say if you do the right things, if you choose the right path, you will be salt.
Yeah,
like he just kind of gives us our identity. He gives us who we are. Mm-hmm. He just says it for us. You know, you are salt. This is how it is.
Yeah,
and salt is salty. That's how it is. And light is visible. That's how it is. And it, like reading it through that lens, it just seems so matter of fact. And it kept bringing me back to this idea of, yeah, God can use us just how we are. And we're also supposed to be used by God.
Yeah.
And that's how it is. And just kind of the inevitability of all of that. Like if you're a Christian, God's using you.
You're salt.
You're salt.
You're yeah. You're light. You're salt.
Right.
You're light.
And you have purpose, and you have an identity, and Jesus's claim on you
mm-hmm.
kind of is the foundation of that identity and purpose. So,
you would make Jeff Gibbs proud. Jeff Gibbs is one of my professors at seminary. I don't know if he probably wasn't still teaching when you were there.
He was still professor emeritus. Is that
yeah.
the right
yeah.
phrase for it? He was doing a few things.
Okay.
You know, kind of part time. But yeah, definitely a very well-respected professor, and just a really, really brilliant mind. And
so we took. He used to always tell us, keep your eyes on the text, keep your head in the text. Don't try to bring other things into the text. The text is the text. Let that be the driver. What is it saying?
Yeah.
And we got an old desk that they were throwing out. And another student who's actually a good woodworker, a guy named Tim Wilkins, a great pastor, second career guy. We went and bought some stuff at a hardware store, and we made called the hermeneutical harness. You know, hermeneutics is studying, you know, yeah. preaching stuff. And it was in the desk was these two holes, and it was like we had a Bible on there. And if we kind of acted out like someone pulled their head, like, but what if I talked about this instead of the scripture? And then you'd pull on these things, and your head would go back down into the text, you know? And it was, so we called it Gibbs's hermeneutical harness.
Oh, my gosh,
and apparently
that's
he used
awesome.
That as an illustration for years of his class.
That is beautiful, yeah. man. That's great.
But, no, I the other thing I really appreciate about your sermon, there's something I always really enjoy, just hear you preach, sit at your feet. But it was cool because I got to hear it a couple times. I appreciate the real practical examples
mm-hmm.
of like, oh, you know, there's this middle school girl and people are talking bad about the new student and she has an opportunity now to be salt or light, you know, and
yeah.
And that was really cool. I appreciate you, man, that was a great way of like, this is a text. I'm going to tell you what it means, and then I'm going to kind of show you a real-life scenario. And I think we can all relate to that. We've all been in those situations, you know?
Yeah, and it was one of those moments where I wanted to give a few scenarios, but I didn't want to make it just too generalized and too abstract. And so yeah. I was trying to figure out a way, how can I really, like, paint a picture for people? And I was like, well, I guess I'll just kind of, like, give some hypotheticals and make it very obvious that they're hypotheticals,
yeah.
but they can still be,
yeah.
you know, impactful, even if they're not real. And then, I was really excited to share the story of Allison and the stuff we got to hear
my goodness,
from her.
Yeah, that was.
And man, yeah, like what just a powerful story. I hope that was impactful for people. It seemed like a lot of people really liked hearing about her and just man, the guts on her and
I tell you what, man.
And the way God is using her, just. Exactly the way she is, you know?
Yeah.
She likes swimming. She likes sports. So that's how he's using her, you know,
yeah.
in a really profound, really cool way.
And she had no idea. She was just an Amon Jordan. She has no idea. She's like, oh, the girls aren't going to play many sports. So they can't be in the company of males while they do this. And so
right.
she just found a way. She's made it happen.
Yeah.
And what I hope we, you know, Pastor Ethan couldn't tell the entire story taking so long, but. The point that I remember she made right at the end was that when she was leaving Jordan, the government didn't want to let her leave, and we all thought it was all because they were going to try to put you on trial for spreading Christianity.
Right.
And it wasn't that. It was that if she left, the program might fall apart, and they didn't want to lose this amazing women's sports program
yeah.
that they had
yeah.
in the country. It was
just
so
like
wild
crazy
to me.
How well everything has gone and just the amount of work she's put into it and
mm-hmm.
and the fact that she's here in Chicago now just trying to do it all over again,
yeah.
you know,
because yeah.
there's tons of opportunity here. So really cool. Hopefully we get to hear a little bit more about her.
I would love to
future.
Have her come to St. Andrews and
yeah.
talk to us at St. Andrews and,
yeah.
And also her the convert to Christina that came
right.
over with her. But,
right.
Man, oh man. So salt and light, is there anything you felt you had to leave out that you thought was interesting, but it just didn't fit with your flow or the main message? Is there anything you kind of, if you had to preach the same message again this week, what would you include?
I think, I don't know if I would necessarily leave something out, but I think I would approach the last 2 weeks differently. I was thinking, since I was able to go back-to-back, both in... Straight from the Beatitudes into Salt and Light,
mm-hmm.
I was thinking if I could do it all over again, maybe it'd be cool to try to connect the two a little more intentionally. Where
oh, gotcha.
it it might almost like serve as like one, just like one continuous sermon. Even
mm-hmm.
I was thinking about that because I really like, and you do a great job of this, Matt, of creating continuity from week to week. You know, you're always recalling something that we just talked about, kind of preparing for the next week, that sort of thing. So if I were to do it over again, maybe I would have
yeah.
thought about that a little bit more. But
I think there was a great continuity even without the explicit, you know, I'm going to make the connection to it. It seemed
right.
It seemed to me, you know, where it had the same kind of feel and, yeah, and I could go back 2 weeks ago and picture the man who had everything and the woman who had nothing
yeah.
hearing about the fact that they're both salt, and they're both light. You know,
yeah, that's cool. Picture in my head, well, I'm glad. I was able to use the same images too. I was able to use the same sermon slide, so that kind of created a little bit of continuity there too.
Yeah, and frankly, it's easier.
Sorry. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Didn't have to think too much about that's right. I love it. So, Pastor Matt, as we're getting ready for this coming week, you've got a lot coming up, a lot of exciting things for you. You're leaving today.
Correct.
To head to Arizona for the Best Practices in Ministry Conference, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, I've never been. I've never been to it. So,
and maybe just like really briefly tell us what that is.
It's a huge conference, and the church in Arizona and Phoenix puts it on for free, and they provide meals, they provide everything. You just have to get yourself out there in a place to stay. So I'm flying out today, and I'm coming back early. I'm coming back on Friday, and my brother lives out in Scottsdale, or he has a house out in Scottsdale, so I'm gonna get to see him, which is kind of fun to get to see my brother.
Nice.
And then you just get to learn from churches that are doing things well. I think there's a lot of churches who are really forward-thinking, and I'm not saying forward thinking as far as, oh, just a certain kind of music or a certain kind of, worship style or something. They're forward thinking as far as, like, how do we use analytics? How do we get feedback? How do we reach people with all the tools that are available that maybe weren't available last year or 2 years ago or 10 years ago or whatever?
Right.
And the other thing is there's just a lot of good people who want to have people hear about Jesus in one place.
Right.
And I tell you what, I've the list of people going is so long, and I was trying to go through and see who I knew, and I knew a bunch of people. Some people I haven't seen in years, maybe since seminary, mm-hmm. are going to be there. But the funny thing was that the list is so long. Like I was going through it, and I got up to the G's.
Yeah.
And so I think on my Uber ride to the airport, I'll start working on go through the rest.
Oh,
and see,
that's great.
See, I kind of need to flag and
praise God for that.
Yeah.
Though, man.
Oh, it's huge.
That's awesome.
I look forward to meeting people. One of our former pastors, Pastor Reinhardt, will be there, so I'll see him. And,
nice.
And I think he's presenting on some stuff with the youth ministry. So, he's
really
it'll
cool.
It'll be fun. Yeah, yeah.
Man, well, yeah, I'm excited to hear kind of your takeaways and kind of reflect with you what you learned there.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
So, and as you're getting ready to leave, you've gotten pretty far into your sermon. You're getting into it's Transfiguration Sunday this week.
Transfiguration Sunday,
it's the Sunday before we start Lent.
Yes.
We're right at it, man. So tell us a little bit about where has your heart been? Where has the Spirit been leading you? And a little bit about your text. And what can we expect for this weekend?
I'll be frank with you. Like I looked up the verses, you know, and I realized, oh, this is Transfiguration.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a day in the year where everything feels like it speeds up. In January kind of goes slow, beginning of February kind of goes slow, and I had that day like this week where it felt like, oh man, like we are in it. We're going to be doing Ash Wednesday, and also going to be First Communion Day. We have a ton of baptisms coming up, and like all of a sudden it's like, I don't know, if you ever start like a big race, you kind of walk at first, there's so many people, and then all of a sudden you find yourself jogging, and all of a sudden you're in the race, and you're like, we're in the race, man.
Right.
So
it's picking
good.
Up, absolutely.
Yeah. Transfiguration.
Yeah, what makes Transfiguration, it's such a wild event. You know, we see Moses and Elijah, what is it about Transfiguration that is really so significant that we celebrate as a feast?
There's several things that come up to me about it. One thing is it is, and this is kind of what we'll talk about, not directly, but indirectly. We talk about the fact that you kind of like, if you look at a picture of a door and like the old keyhole that you could look through, you know, in a door, and it's like, it's almost like you're sneaking up on the door and you're looking through the keyhole and you can see heaven. You can see the glory of God. You can see the future. You can see all of these things.
Yeah.
And it's not a very long passage, but he takes Peter, James, and John with him. And he's transfigured, and at first it's like awesome and so cool, and Peter's like, hey, let's just build you some booths and stay up here, and then the cloud of the glory of God, which is the presence of God, and you know, that we're not supposed to be in shows up, and all of a sudden it gets real scary.
Yeah.
Real
fast.
And I'm playing on that, like how God takes what should be terrifying or what was terrifying and makes it a triumph, makes it a,
oh, man.
So that's what we're gonna see that in the sermon. But there, man, this is one of those sermons where I would love to preach on this same passage for a month.
Yeah,
because let's talk about Moses.
Yeah,
let's talk about his story. Let's talk about Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the fact that Elijah was taken up into heaven before he died, and Moses died and was buried, but they're both there. So Jesus is the God of the living and the dead. Let's talk about prophecy. Let's talk about the prophet, priest, and king, and Moses. I mean, there's so much to talk about. And the truth is, I do get into a little bit of Exodus when we start out, just because, you know, Matthew, and it's good for people to know, Matthew's writing to Jews.
Right.
And, you know, even to this day, a lot of Jewish people who come to know Christ will attribute the gospel of Matthew, because it's just written for Jews. It's
right.
Really, and there's so many things in there that Matthew says offhandedly that mean like a ton to someone who knows the Old Testament. And one of those things he says is, and after 6 days, and I'll talk about what that means in the sermon, but so we get in a little bit of that, and then we talk about how now being in God's presence is not terrifying. It's
yeah.
a triumph. So
and just to hear you say that kind of the opposite, you know, God taking what ought to be terrifying or could be terrifying and making it something that is triumphant or, you know, not terrifying. Like I'm excited to see how you navigate those waters. I'm just excited for this weekend. I'm starting to I get reminded regularly that this is still my first year.
Yeah.
You know, and so we come up to I get my first of everything, you know.
That's right. That's right.
Sometimes I forget that I'm still pretty new.
Well, you don't preach like a new guy. You don't act like a new guy. You're doing a great job.
Oh, well, thank you, man.
But you're right. It is a moment of like, I'm here. This is the church. I'm serving it. And also like, wait a minute, how do we do this?
Right.
We went over in our before our executive staff meeting yesterday, we had our church staff meeting, and we just kind of went over, like, what do we do for Holy Week? It was just kind of funny, like, oh yeah, okay,
yeah,
oh, yeah, I got to figure out Holy Week,
uh-huh.
So
a lot of things new, but just the worship life here at St. Andrew's is really, really healthy and beautiful, and so we do have something really special here.
I agree.
Yeah.
I love getting to worship here. I really do, and just the we get to worship with great people. We get to worship with great music. We get to, your congregation is remarkably flexible as far as like, you know, how are we gonna serve the Lord? How are we gonna praise God? So,
we're
blessed in so many ways for sure.
That's beautiful. Well, let me wrap it up. Let me say a prayer for you as you got to get on a plane here soon.
Yeah, thank you for that.
And we'll wrap up in prayer.
Okay.
Lord Jesus, we are grateful that you have put us in this place to bring your promises and your word to your people. Bless me and Pastor Matt as we continue to do that as faithfully and as grounded in your word as we possibly can, Lord. Give us what we need, especially this week. We pray for Matt. We lift him to you that you have prepared in him a message for us that will reveal who you are and all the things you've already done for us and what you continue to do for us in Jesus. And Lord, bless him as he continues to prepare for that for this weekend. And especially keep him safe as he travels to and from Arizona, and just allow that conference to just be packed full of things that are good and that will bear fruit in Matt, and that will just inspire him and inspire us and might even influence the way we do things here. So thank you for just faithful people in your church who are willing to share their gifts and their insights, Lord. Just bless us all here at St. Andrew's. Help us have a great rest of our week. And we look forward to this weekend where we hear your word and receive your gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, brother. And yeah, thank you, St. Andrews. We'll see you this weekend.
Yep. See you guys.